KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I am from Livermore.
I'm from East Oakland.
Oakland, near Lake Merritt.
Alameda, California.
Coming up, an investigation into lead poisoning in the Bay Area. For over a year, we followed a public health nurse who deals with severe lead poisoning cases in Alameda County.
Our plan was for lead poisoning to be gone, eradicated.
It's not just the kids who were affected by lead poisoning.
I've seen parents go into shock. Most of them are anxious. Some feel guilty and go into denial.
And we meet an Oakland family whose lives were turned upside down by their child's diagnosis.
It changed my life.
The first in our multiple award-winning four-part series, Persistent Poison, coming up today on Cross Currents. Kids with lead poisoning made national headlines in 2014 during the public health disaster in Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan's drinking water became contaminated with lead.
Lead contamination was detected when doctors found lead in children.
President Obama visited Michigan Wednesday, where he issued his first public statements about the Flint water crisis.
Then last year, news broke out about lead poisoning here in the Bay Area.
On tonight's segment two, families in Oakland looking for answers after learning many children are exposed to dangerous levels of lead. A recent report from Reuters even compared the Fruitvale District to Flint, Michigan.
It turns out a handful of Bay Area zip codes have some of the highest childhood lead poisoning rates in the state. That surprised many Bay Area residents, including our own KALW reporters Angela Johnston and Marissa Ortega Welch. Here's Marissa.
I actually live in one of those zip codes with really high lead levels. And I knew that kids still got lead poisoning, but I didn't realize how big of a problem it still is in certain neighborhoods.
Here's Angela.
The Reuters report showed that the Bay Area overall has low rates of lead poisoning, but in certain zip codes, the rate of kids getting lead poisoning is really high. Not just in Fruitvale, but other parts of East Oakland, as well as West Oakland, Emeryville, San Leandro, and parts of Fremont have lead rates more than 3 times the national average.
And lead poisoning is a problem in some neighborhoods in San Francisco, too, like the Mission District and Bayview Hunters Point.
Most of the lead poisoning in the Bay Area isn't caused by water running through old pipes like it is in Flint. Here, it's mostly coming from lead-based paint in old houses. More than 80% of homes in Oakland were built before 1978, when the U.S. banned lead paint.
The house I live in Oakland was actually built in the 1890s. Kids living in these old homes can ingest the lead paint. They might eat paint that peels off the baseboards or just inhale lead that's turned to dust and get really sick.
But again, we've known about this problem since the 70s, so Marissa and I were really curious why this is still a problem and what it was like for families living with lead poisoning.
We reached out to the county, Alameda County, which runs a lead poisoning prevention program, and we met this public health nurse, Diep Tran, who handles all the lead poisoning cases. She is like a walking Rolodex of families affected by lead.
And through her, we met families across Alameda County whose lives turn upside down when their kids are poisoned by lead.
And the lead problem in the Bay Area is really tangled up with issues of affordable housing, immigration, and government bureaucracy.
So all week, we're going to be hearing these stories, and today we're going to meet one of the families that Marissa and Angela have been following for the last 6 months, whose lives were definitely complicated by lead poisoning. First, we're going to meet this public health nurse who deals with Alameda County's lead poisoning cases. Marissa and Angela, I'll let you take it from here.
Public health nurse Diep Tran thought she'd be out of her job by now.
Our plan was for lead poisoning to be gone, eradicated by 2010. And yet we're still getting too many cases.
This is the woman who manages all the severe lead poisoning cases for Alameda County. Diep's in her 60s and has a short bobbed haircut and a lot of energy. And she's constantly working. Seriously, she barely sits down.
I've been told that I say too much, write too much.
I'm trying
to be short, but it's hard.
It's difficult for us to record interviews with Diep because when she gets excited, she goes from whispering to shouting very quickly and sometimes pounds on the table. Like when she tells us about how many families are in her caseload.
Since 2005, nearly 300. A lot.
Do you know the number?
50, 60, 70, a lot. And the moment the a follow-up ends, I get two or three new cases.
Actually, it's more like 150 cases. She's so busy, she's lost track.
Dieppe mostly works with little kids who accidentally ate lead flakes or inhaled lead dust from paint in old homes.
She helps families treat the lead poisoning and arranges for tests to figure out the lead source so the kids can stop being exposed.
It's really intimate work. She visits the families' homes, works with them for years to help them deal with the trauma of lead and its effects.
Lead is a toxin. It gets in the blood, bones, and brain. It interferes with neurons, which is especially bad for kids with developing brains. They can lose their appetite, get anemia, and exhibit violent behavior.
Sometimes I'm talking to parents and the child will take a ball and just throw it up at my head.
That's what lead can do. Long term, it can cause permanent learning disabilities and behavioral disorders.
I have another case in Alameda City. He's been eating the window sills in his Victorian home for 2 years.
The kid now has speech and behavioral problems.
In Alameda County, almost a third of residents moved here from other countries. People speak 53 different languages. Dieppe has to gain trust and be a cultural translator of sorts. She wears a headscarf when she visits Muslim families. And she sometimes goes by another name. We asked Dieppe about this other medical provider we kept hearing about, someone families call Dr. Mariposa. Mariposa as in butterfly.
My name is Mariposa, but I'm not a doctor.
Oh, you're Mariposa.
Spanish people, when I tell them my name is Dieppe, 1 month later, who am I? Oh, I don't remember. But you know who I am. Yeah. So I tell them Dieppe means Mariposa in Vietnamese, and they all call me Mariposa, which is fine.
Dieppe says she spends an hour when she first meets families, just talking to them and getting to know them as people. And she treads lightly with parents. When they find out their kid has lead poisoning, they can have really emotional responses.
I've seen parents go into shock. Most of them are anxious. Some feel guilty and go into denial, which is not good for the child because parents in denial don't want to work with us.
From following Dieppe, we've really come to understand that lead poisoning complicates lives, not just for the kid, but for the whole family. We spent the last 6 months following one family whose lives have been complicated by lead.
These are the echoey halls of Highland Hospital.
Ven, Alex, Antonio.
It's a place Ana Barrazo and her kids know well.
Ven, Antonio, mira, ven.
Antonio was diagnosed with lead poisoning more than a year ago. Annabelle's bringing him here for a blood test for the fifth time, hoping his lead levels are going down.
The boys chase each other in the hallway while their mom fills out paperwork. Alex just turned one, and Antonio is two. But Annabelle likes to dress them like twins.
Number four and number five.
Today they're wearing matching red flannel shirts and slicked back hair.
Four and five. One in.
Annabelle is 29, with a perfectly made-up face. She went to cosmetology school, but now she keeps books for her partner's plumbing business.
Chair number 14.
Is this Antonio?
Yes.
Okay, let's get rid of
it. Annabelle sits in the patient chair with Antonio on her lap. She circles her arms tight around him.
Okay, so I'm going to put this on. You're probably not going to like it. It's going to be a little tight, okay?
Last year, Annabelle noticed Antonio wasn't eating. She told her doctor, and he tested Antonio's blood for lead.
The number you need to know is 5. The Centers for Disease Control say there's no safe level for lead, but the threshold for action is when the blood shows more than 5 micrograms of lead per deciliter of blood. 5. Any level of 5 or above is considered too high and cause for intervention.
Antonio's lead level was 30.
One, only one.
The nurse draws blood.
All done.
Good job. That was fast.
And Antonio gets right back to playing. But now it's his younger brother Alex's turn.
What's his first name?
Alexander.
He isn't quite as used to this.
I know, Pumpkin.
This is what most kids' lead tests sound like.
Yeah. Okay, all done. Thanks, baby. Sorry.
A lab will test for the blood's lead levels, and Annabelle will find out the results in a few days.
Dile bye. Dile gracias.
Bye.
Annabelle scoops up one child in each arm. There's one more stop before getting back in the car. The vending machine for a treat.
Cada vez que le saco, le doy un premio porque no llora.
She says, every time I have to bring them here, I give them a prize.
Cookie?
She's trying to keep this a positive experience because it's definitely not the last time that they'll be at the hospital for a blood test.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Ababa. Today, we're re-airing our multiple award-winning series about lead poisoning in the Bay Area called Persistent Poison from KALW reporters Marissa Ortega-Welch and Angela Johnston. Lead is a neurotoxin, and it can cause brain damage. In the Bay Area, most kids get lead poisoning from ingesting lead paint from old houses. So far in this first story, we met public health nurse Diep Tran, who handles the severe lead poisoning cases for Alameda County. Now we're visiting one of those families. Annabelle Rosso's son, Antonio, was diagnosed with lead poisoning over a year ago. Let's get back to Marissa and Angela. Here's Angela.
We met Annabelle in September of last year. We asked Head Start daycare programs in Oakland if any families living with lead poisoning wanted to share their stories. Annabelle said yes.
She graciously welcomed us into her family's life and let us tag along with her many times. She ended up having a more complicated story than we thought we'd find. Not the kind you can tie up neatly in a bow.
Annabelle lives in an older house off a main drag in the Temescal neighborhood of North Oakland. The first time we come over, Annabelle's kids are all playing in the yard outside with their dogs. Along with baby Alex and 2-year-old Antonio, Annabelle has two preteens.
¿Es tu perrito?
Sí.
After Antonio's lead poisoning diagnosis.
Yeah, what was that like?
Mundo?
Your world.
Is down. It changed my life.
One of the hardest things for Annabelle is Antonio's lack of appetite. It's a common symptom of lead poisoning.
For last year, it's terrible for not eating. Antonio only one tortilla and milk, and that's it.
Little kids are often picky eaters, but lead poisoning makes it severe. Annabelle says she has to beg him to eat, and he just cries and cries. And he acts out. Remember, lead can cause behavioral problems in kids.
Antonio es violento.
Violent.
Angry, more angry.
Lead impacts little kids the most, kids under the age of 6, because their brains are still developing. This is another way that living with lead is so scary. A kid can have a blood lead level of 5, 10, even 15, and not show symptoms, but lead can still be taking its toll on the brain and lead to learning disabilities.
Si él no está ahorita bien, en futuro no va a estar bien.
She's worried the lead will cause permanent damage.
Annabelle's partner, Tony Godinez, arrives. Little Antonio couldn't be happier to see him.
Chiquito.
Antonio doesn't want to leave his dad's side. He sits right in his lap. For Papa Tony, lead poisoning haunts him.
I think about it every day. Yeah, it's not easy to know that he has that in him.
Tony says he hates feeling helpless, and he hates the blood tests. Tony once went to his son's lead test, but won't go back.
One time I was there and it was hard to see him cry. Yeah. He would look at me, he would be like, I'm like, oh my God, I break my heart.
The only way to get lead out of the body is through something called chelation. During chelation, doctors put a chemical into the blood that binds to heavy metals like lead, making it easier for the body to flush the lead out. This process also draws lead out of the bones. All of this is hard on the kidneys, which suddenly have to filter all this lead. It's an aggressive treatment, but it can be life-saving.
If Antonio's lead levels get too high, he may have to spend weeks in the hospital undergoing chelation while doctors monitor his kidneys. Annabelle actually seems as scared of the chelation treatment as she is of the lead itself.
Annabelle's really been focused on another treatment, good nutrition. Medical providers say foods high in calcium, iron, and vitamin C keep the body from absorbing lead, so it's good for kids to eat things like leafy greens and drink milk. Of course, that's hard to do since kids with lead poisoning don't want to eat.
Y eso es lo más, más difícil porque come una tortilla. Y yo tengo miedo de que él llegue al hospital. Él, no quiero mirarlo en el hospital lleno de dolor.
She says that's the most difficult part, because she can only get him to eat one tortilla a day, and she doesn't want to see him in the hospital, in pain. The best solution for Antonio is to get him away from the source of the lead.
Last year, when Antonio's blood tested high for lead, the hospital sent his results to the county. Then Dieppe, the public health nurse, showed up to the house with her team to identify where the lead was coming from. Annabelle says Dieppe and the county tested everything.
The windows, doors, in paint, the home.
They tested the floors and the soil in the backyard.
And it said nothing.
Annabelle says Dieppe and her team found nothing, that the tests didn't indicate that the house was the source of the lead. Maybe a little bit from outside, she says, but Antonio never went outside. She says he barely ever crawled on the floor.
But when we talked to Dieppe, with Annabelle's permission, we got a very different story.
It's the house. Her house. She's denial. The house is old. The floor has, you know, the painted wood floor. The paint is peeling. And it tests positive for lead. And the child was crawling on it. They're in denial. Wow, this is a revelation. And now I know that she's in denial because she's telling you that they don't know where the lead comes from. Oh, come on.
Dieppe says a lot of parents feel like the lead poisoning is their fault. For many families, it's like going through the seven stages of grief. A lot of times, Dieppe ends up doubling as a therapist.
Not my role, really, but in order to get my work done, I have to do that.
She coaches parents through depression, anger, even denial.
Not common, but it's very time-consuming once it happens. Because if you give up too soon, the child doesn't recover. If the child doesn't recover, he surely will end up with behavioral and learning problems.
Dieppe has about 150 cases at any one time. She says she can't spend her whole day chasing after families that don't want to work with her.
It's a very fine balance. Oh, so I go home and I just go crazy. I can't sleep at night. Should I continue running after Annabelle or should I just move on to the next family? Because I keep getting new families.
In some ways, these clients are like her family.
The reason I can do this job is because I don't have kids to worry at home.
And her husband works and travels a lot.
So that frees me to, you know, toss and turn at night and worry about the next day. Otherwise, if I have a family, I don't think I'll be a very good mother or wife.
That's what makes parents in denial even more frustrating for Dieppe. She herself loses sleep over these kids. There is no law, by the way, that says families have to work with the county if lead poisoning's detected.
You know, you can't. The parents have their rights, too, and that's the right not to be harassed.
If Annabelle is in denial, it might be that she's still going through the grieving process.
Yeah, it's just taking her longer.
Dieppe says lead can also cause tension between parents. She had one case where the parents kept fighting.
And then the parents ended up divorcing because the child ended up in special ed. And the parents blame each other. So at that point, I said to the parents, stop fighting. It's too late now. You cannot go back in time. You just now move forward and make sure your child recovers and that he's getting the help he needs.
We visit Annabelle and her family again a few months later.
Up. Say one, two,
three.
Yay! Annabelle and Tony are hanging out with little Antonio and baby Alex in the living room.
This,
this is oh leave God. Me out.
Luckily, Antonio's lead levels have dropped, but Annabelle still has to make him eat. Papa Tony has a harder time doing that.
I'm too soft. Like when Antonio's like doesn't want to eat, I don't force him to eat.
And I mean, no. Me and all day.
They're more strict. Because I see him normal. Like I don't see him like, I don't see him sick, but.
Por mí está mejor.
Yeah.
Porque tú no estás ayudando.
She says, because of me, Antonio is getting better, because you're not helping.
I'm not helping in that department, but, you know.
Yeah.
I help with anything, everything else.
Another thing Annabelle and Tony disagree about is where the lead is coming from. Annabelle still insists it's not coming from the house.
But Tony thinks otherwise.
I mean, to be honest, like, just by the test, saying that there was in the floor, I mean, he could... you know, easily got it from there.
Tony's a contractor. When the county told him that his house had exposed lead paint, he says he knew what to do. He patched up the peeling paint and put in carpets over the floors.
Well, no, it didn't cost me that much because I got the, like the cheapest stuff at Home Depot, you know. So we spent like maybe, what, $600, $700? And the carpet, we're not carpet installers and we can install it ourselves. Even her mom was installing the carpet, you know. So it wasn't that expensive.
He covered the lead hazards. The county even came back out and inspected the house and said Tony's repairs worked. The county would have helped Tony with the cost of the repairs. It offers up to $10,000 to low-income tenants and landlords to fix lead hazards. But Tony didn't think it was worth getting his landlord involved. Tony is actually friends with the owner. He says they have a plan to build a new apartment building on the property together.
Well, yeah, we're going to tear this thing down. We were thinking about building 15 units here.
Tony says he'll do the construction, and in exchange, his family will get to live in one of the new apartments for free. Some families would try to find a new place to live, but Annabelle and Tony decided to do this temporary fix, one that worked. Now they're waiting it out until they can build a new home.
The promise of affordable housing means they are willing to take that risk. This is the quandary for so many lead poison families in the Bay Area. Who wants to stomach the thought that your house is poisoning you, especially if you can't afford to live anywhere else? In Oakland, I'm Marissa Ortega Welch.
And I'm Angela Johnston for Cross Currents.
That was the first story in our week-long series, Persistent Poison, about lead poisoning in the Bay Area. Well, it's been 9 months since that story first aired, so Angela and Marissa checked in with Annabelle to ask how she and her children were doing today. They still live in the same apartment, and Antonio's levels haven't gone down since their last appointment. Baby Alex, she says, is doing okay. Annabelle says she still doesn't know where the lead is coming from. Tomorrow, we'll hear the second story in the series. We'll meet a family who say they got evicted after they complained to their landlord about lead.
I know my neighbors, they're afraid because the rent is still kind of low, and so they don't want to move out, even though they know there's all these problems.
Lead poisoning and the housing crisis, that's tomorrow on Cross Currents. Today's team includes Janae Darden, Lance Gardner, Priya Mahadevan, True Gwynn, and Eli Wertschafter. Our engineers are James Rollins, Gabe Graben, and Tariq Foda. Content manager is Shirin Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer, and our news director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by Try the Pie from San Jose. They'll be playing at 1234 Go Records in Oakland tomorrow. Show starts at 2 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.